Okay, now we want to discuss how to optimize the umbrella sampling algorithm. And so we first want to obtain the energy distribution in the umbrella sampling case as a function of the energy distributions in the canonical ensemble. So let's remember how the energy distribution is defined. The energy distribution is what we also called the energy histogram, the function H, which is a function of E0 and of course of the inverse temperature beta, and is defined as the mean value of the Kronecker delta of the energy of the Hamiltonian, if you like, and E0, average over the canonical distribution at the inverse temperature beta. And as we already discussed, we can replace the sum over the configuration with a sum over the energies, and then we can use the delta function to eliminate the sum over the energies, and so we obtain the expression that the H is 1 over Z beta, the density of states of E0, the exponential of minus beta E0. So this is the definition of the distribution of the energy, distribution of the energy histogram in the canonical distribution. And we know what is the plot of this H. So we use as a variable the intensive energy, so the energy divided by the volume, or equivalently, the energy divided by the number of particles. And we have a Gaussian distribution with a width that decreases as 1 over square root of V, or if you like, 1 divided by square root of N. So in, if you use the intensive variable instead of E0, of course, the variance decreases as 1 divided by the square root of the number of particles. Now we want to compute the energy distribution for the umbrella probability distribution function. So in this case, we do exactly the same steps as we have done in the case of the canonical distribution. So H pi, this is the energy distribution when we use the umbrella probability distribution, is defined as 1 over Z pi. Then we take the sum over X, the sum over I, AI, the exponential, so minus beta I H of X, and then we have the delta function of the energy, or if you prefer, of H of X, comma E0. This is Kronecker delta. Now, the first thing that we do, we replace the sum over X with a sum over the energy, but in this case, we have to introduce the density of states. So we replace the sum over X with a sum over E, and now we add the density of states, so the number of states in the state space that have the given energy E. So we obtain 1 over Z pi, the sum over the energies, the density of states, and then we have the weight, which is the sum over I, A of I E to minus beta I E, and then there is Kronecker delta between E and E0. Then we use the Kronecker delta to eliminate the sum over the energies, and we are left with 1 over Z pi, the density of states computed in E0, and then we have the standard weight in the umbrella distribution computed for an energy for the energy E0. And then we do the following. We put rho E0 inside the sum over I, and then we add a factor Z beta I and 1 over Z beta I. These are the two terms which of course cancel, so we're effectively introducing a 1, so that we obtain a new expression in which, in parentheses, you can easily recognize the energy distribution in the canonical ensemble. So the main outcome of this short calculation is that the energy distribution in the umbrella sampling case is a linear combination of the canonical energy distributions. So if we define these coefficients, Ai, Zi divided by Z pi, we call them Ci, we see that the energy distribution is the sum of Ci, H of beta I, E0. And of course, the sum of the Cs is equal to 1, as you can easily verify using the definition of Z pi. So now, this formula allows us to understand why we have these two conditions when we work in the umbrella case, that the distributions of a neighboring temperature should overlap, and then the conditions on the coefficients Ai. So let's see the first condition, where it comes from. So imagine we have just two temperatures, and assume that the distributions do not overlap. They are very far apart one from the other, as in the plot here at page 2. H pi is just a linear combination of these two distributions, so depending on the coefficient Ci's, you will get a graph like the one which is in the second line, which is below the two different distributions. It's just the sum with some weights, some positive weights, of the two distributions which are on top. And so you see that there is a region between the two distributions where H pi is essentially zero. And it's zero because H of beta 1, H beta 2 is zero in that region. Now remember what H pi means. H pi is the probability of finding an energy, of finding that particular value of the energy. So there is a region between the two distributions where the probability of finding that energy is very small. It's essentially, from a practical point of view, is essentially zero. But then imagine your algorithm in which the energy changes very slightly. If you want to go from the region 1 to the region 2, you have to go through the energies which are in between. But the probability of being there is essentially zero. So this means that if you start in 1, you only visit the configurations which are typical for beta 1 at temperature beta 1, while if you start in 2, you only visit the configuration which are typical for inverse temperature beta 2. You never go from one peak to the other. You never visit both the configurations, the typical configurations of both temperatures. And in this case, the simulation doesn't work. So we understand here why H of beta 1, H beta 2 should overlap, because in this case, when you do the linear combination, the distribution is non-vanishing also in between the two mean values. Then let's see why we need the third property, why we need that the Ai's, the alpha I's as we call them in the previous lesson, should be related to the ratios of the partition functions. So go to page 3 and imagine we have three different temperatures. Here are their distributions. They look very similar, and the height is more or less the same. Now imagine that C1 is 0.7, C2 is very small, 10 to minus 4, and C3 is, okay, the sum should be 1, so it's 0.3 minus 10 to minus 4. And the sum of the three coefficients should be 1. When you do the linear combination, you see that you get a result which is the one in the second picture, the picture below. And since C2 is very small in the linear combination, the probability to go through configurations that are typical at inverse temperature beta 2 is very tiny, is very small, it's tiny. And so effectively, again, the system doesn't move. If you start in a typical configuration at inverse temperature beta 1, you are not able to go to inverse temperature beta 3, simply because you would like to go through typical configurations at beta 2, but their coefficient C2 is so small that the probability to go there is tiny. So you see here what is the good condition. The good condition is that all the C's should be more or less the same. So you want to take linear combinations of the energy distributions at beta 1, beta 2, beta 3, with C1 more or less of the same order as C2, and more or less of the same order as C3. But if we require that CIs are all the same, we obtain the conditions which is written here, that AI, Z beta I divided by Z pi, is essentially identical to the same quantity with the index J. Z pi cancel, and then we obtain the condition that we mentioned in the previous lesson, that the ratios of the A's, we call them alphas in the previous lesson, is related to the ratio of the Z's. So how the umbrella sampling is implemented at the beginning? So the practical implementation is the following. We choose the maximum and the minimum value of the interval that we want to investigate, and then we subdivide it in n different temperatures such that the energy distributions between beta I and beta I plus 1 overlap. There is one important point here, that the width of the distributions, if we consider them as a function of the energy divided by the volume, decreases 1 over square root of the volume, or if you like, 1 divided by the square root of the number of particles. So the number of temperatures that we need to consider increases as the number of particles increases, simply because these distributions become narrower. Then we perform short runs, canonical standard short runs, at each temperature, and we use the reweighting method we have discussed a few lessons ago to compute the ratios of the partition function between beta I plus 1 and beta I. Then we use our optimality condition, and this allows us to get a relation between AI and A plus 1. As we said in the previous lecture, we can fix A1 equal to 1, and this relation allows us to compute A1, from A1 we compute A2, from A2 A3, and so on. So we get all these coefficients in this way. At this point, we can start the simulation using the umbrella distribution. In principle, we can also optimize the run using the umbrella distribution results themselves, because we can do a short umbrella sampling run, and then we can recompute these ratios using the formula which is written here. I don't prove it, I leave it to you as an exercise, but it should be quite easy to understand how to prove it using the same trick that we used when we discussed how to relate canonical ensemble averages and umbrella sampling averages. Note that the denominator is the function f pi of x that we introduced in those nodes. So we can recompute these ratios, and of course we can reoptimize the algorithm if we want.